Live from Buffalo Creek. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Won't be saying that much longer. We're not going to finish up today, though. Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to start in verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Again, this is the industry, the diligence, and the work ethic of this virtuous woman. We find that it's very admirable. All through this entire chapter, her work ethic shines through. She makes sure that her own household is well fed and adequately clothed. Her children are taught, trained, disciplined in the ways of godliness. Yet she manages to make and to sell fine linen and girdles to the merchant. This is evidence of her careful discipline and wise use of time. This is a woman who's definitely not laying around eating bonbons and watching slop operas all day. I mean, she's busy. She's working. She's taking care of her home, taking care of her husband, her kids, and then she even finds time to make fine linen and deliver girdles to the merchant. She lives her life on purpose, with a desire to please the Lord and to be a blessing to her family. God bless such extraordinary women. And we have them today. We ought to thank God for good, godly, faithful women. We have them in our churches. We ought to rejoice that there are still some who believe in the sanctity of the home, of the importance of the role of a godly woman and her effect, her influence upon her husband, her children, her home, her church, and ultimately society at large. This is one of the things that our nation is missing today. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, the clothing spoken of in this verse is not the outward adorning after the fashion trends of the day. Outward apparel ought to be modest. It ought to be chaste, so as not to draw unwanted sensual attention that would incite the base lusts of wicked men. I don't know if women understand this or if they're being taught it, but men are wicked. And they look at women with lust in their hearts. And that's why it's important that you don't wear clothing or the lack thereof to incite the lust of sinful men. The outward apparel of the virtuous woman is aimed at being pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, to be acceptable to her husband, to be an example to other women, and a model for her children to emulate. And as such, she understands the solemn responsibility before the Lord to conduct herself in a way that pleases God. Now, the clothing that she's most concerned with is not that which can be seen with the naked eye. Rather, the clothing that most concerns the virtuous woman is how her inner life is reflected in her relationship to the Lord. Spiritually, she is clothed with the strength of the Lord of hosts, which gives her courage to abide in His commandments, to obey Him unreservedly. She has heeded the admonition given to Joshua of old, and it's displayed in the way she lives her life. One of my favorite passages, Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, or 7 through 9. God told Joshua, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." See, it takes courage and spiritual strength and trust in the Lord to really follow God. It takes strength to obey God's commandments. Strength that we don't normally have. It's extraordinary. It's spiritual. It's powerful. And it comes from God. And this virtuous woman, her heart is set upon the things of God. Her heart is set upon the law and the commandments and the statutes and the principles that are found in the Word. That's why strength and honor are her clothing. That's why she'll rejoice in the time to come. Her love for God and obedience to Him is what clothes her with honor. She doesn't seek the honor of men, but the honor of God. Her heart is set upon the Lord as she desires to live for Him and for His glory. It's funny, it's not funny, it's ironic how completely opposite the world's view of women is. The most popular women in our culture today, many of them have no fear of God whatsoever. They live with no desire to please God. They're immodest. They're immoral. They encourage fornication and adultery and ungodliness. And it's a stark contrast from the virtuous woman. And it's sad to see our world so contrary to God, but that's the way it's always been. Sometimes we think that this has got to be the worst time in human history. I'll tell you, the very first century when Christianity, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, and you talk about a radical revolution. The world was filled with idolatry, with sexual immorality. There were temples dedicated to goddesses that promoted fornication and adultery. Christianity has done more to stem the tide of immorality and immodesty and ungodliness, and has elevated the role of women more than any other religion. This woman's heart set upon the Lord. And God will bless such a woman with a testimony of righteousness and faithfulness and sincere devotion. Peter gives us a noble description of such a woman of honor. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. While they behold your chaste conversation, and in our English Bible, the word conversation encompasses more than just what you say. It has to do with your entire course of life, your way of life. Of course, your speech does reflect your way of life. But I'm just saying the word conversation in our English Bible is more broad than just speech. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's amazing to me what the Bible exalts, the world generally demeans. I've seen clips of these white girls in these riots. A lot of them, listen, if you're destroying property, it's not a peaceful protest. There's no way you can, any way in the world you can justify that. But I heard some white girl just spitting venom, man, just poison in the face of this policeman. And just, she was loud, arrogant, hateful, saying, I hope you die. I hope your family burns in their home. You don't deserve to live. This is a 25-year-old, 30-year-old white girl. Who's obviously had no raising. No training. No stress by someone stressing virtue. And I fear that's the way a lot of women are in our world today. They're loud. They're hateful. And it's awful. Since her strength and honor are from the Lord, her heart is established in grace. She rests in His care day by day and looks forward to a glorious future marked by rejoicing. As bad as things may appear to be, don't you know you can rejoice in what lies ahead. This is the hope of every true child of God. It says here, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. We have a future marked by rejoicing in the presence of our Lord that will be unhindered by sin or sorrow. No matter what trials we may face in this uneven journey of life, we can rest assured that if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if we're born of His Spirit, we're going to bask in the glory of the Lord throughout the eternal ages. And it's why Paul told the Roman believers, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You can tell a lot about what somebody, how they talk. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Matthew 12:35. This truth is reinforced by James in the New Testament when he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's in James chapter 3. The virtuous woman opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She has a heart that's been humbled by grace, that's filled with God's love, and seasoned with the knowledge of the truth. And her speech is a reflection of what God has miraculously done in her heart. Praise God for women and men who speak words of wisdom and kindness. Especially when the conversation of the world, in stark contrast, is marred by bitterness, hatred, cursing, railing, perversity, and gossip. Those are things that daily, it's a poison among men and among women. And this verse ought to convict us as we speak and remind us to use our words for edification and for God's glory. As I read this verse, I thought how many children through the centuries have been instructed and encouraged by the gracious words and the wise words of a loving mother. Think of how many husbands have been helped and encouraged by the wise advice of a godly wife. her mouth is filled with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. A mouth filled with wisdom and a tongue with kindness is a rare combination of virtue indeed. Oh, that God would fill us with a desire to follow this exemplary manner of speech. Think about it. What if our mouths were filled with wisdom and the law of kindness governed our tongue? What a pleasant place it would be if everyone's tongue was governed by the law of kindness. I'm sure that's going to be the rule in the eternal state. It'll be one of the joys and the glories of spending our time in the eternal ages encouraging one another, blessing and exalting our Lord, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And I love old George Lawson, what he said on this verse about this virtuous woman. She does not lock up her lips in sullen silence, but when she speaks, it is a pleasure to hear her. For she opens her mouth with wisdom. All her words are expressions of that good sense which adorns her mind, and that virtue which warms her heart and regulates her conduct. Kindness is painted on her countenance and flows from her tongue, for it possesses the throne of her heart and gives law to all her words and actions. She is the living interpretation of that beautiful description of charity which the Spirit of God gives us by the pen of the Apostle Paul. We're dismissed.